What plan do you have for your life? I hope you have one, because if you don't have a plan for your life, somebody else is going to have one for you. It may be your boss, it may be your spouse, it may be somebody you know, but somebody is going to have a plan for you. And that's what I want us to consider this morning, that the devil has a plan for you. God has one for us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to prepare ourselves so we could come and live with Him for time without end. But the devil, Satan, he has a plan for you also. And if we do not have a plan for ourselves, we are going to be in trouble. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." There are three things that the devil wants to do. He's got three things planned for us. The first thing that Satan wants to do with us, he wants to keep us out of the church. The devil wants to keep every responsible soul out of the church. And there are many reasons for this. First, he knows that the saved are in the church, and he does not want you to be with the saved. If you are out of the church, you are unsaved. And the devil knows that the moment that you are saved, the Lord will add you to the church. Acts 2:47, "The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And the devil is not going to allow you to be added to the church if he can help it. Why is that? Again, several reasons for that. The blood of Christ is in the church, his body. And the devil does not want you to come into the church, because that is where the cleansing blood is, the cleansing blood of Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we read that the church has been purchased with the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb, and the devil knows that it takes the blood of Christ to wash away sin. Satan knows more about the church than a lot of religious people do. He knows how the church was purchased. It was purchased with the blood. He knows that that blood is what cleanses us, and he knows that that blood cannot be reached outside of the church. So he wants to keep you outside of the church if you are outside. Christ shed his blood in his death. And in Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5, we see that that is where we come in contact with that. Romans chapter 6. "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." So it is in this his death we are baptized into his death, baptized into Christ, and raised to walk in newness of life. And it is in and through the church that we glorify God. Ephesians 3:21, "Unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ through all ages without end." So Satan knows, the devil knows, how important the church is. And if you are outside of the church, he's going to do everything that he can to keep you out of the church. Satan also knows that the church is the only place that we can glorify God. We can't glorify God outside of the church. We can only do that in the church. Ephesians 3:21. "And again, he seems to know this better than some of the brethren. Some try to separate themselves from the church and think that they can glorify God. Some think, people of the world, that they can join some organization that does good and honor God through that. The Kiwanis Club, Lions Club, Rotary Club. They think that they can join these clubs and do good for men, and they're going to be pleasing in the sight of God. That's part of Satan's plan, because he wants to keep you out of the church. And Satan knows it is only the church that we can glorify God. So you stop and think about it. Do you think he tries to keep anybody out of the denominations? Do you think he tries to keep people out of the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Lutheran church or the Catholic church? Does Satan try to keep any souls out of those organizations? No, he doesn't try to keep anybody out of any man-made civic organization or man-made religious organization. He tries to keep people out of the church because he knows that's where we come in contact with the blood, that's where we become saved, and that is where we can glorify God. And it is by the church that the gospel is preached. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, that grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So the church, Satan sees as important because that's where the gospel is preached. That is where the gospel is preached. And what is important about preaching the gospel? We know that it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. So the devil is going to do everything that he can to keep us from preaching the gospel. He's going to do everything that he can to keep us from our personal evangelism efforts, because he doesn't want the gospel preached. He does not want people to be saved. The devil knows that nothing else will save a man. You stop and think about that. All the denominations out there that think that they can be saved in so many different ways, and the devil knows better than that. That's why he doesn't try to stop them from joining any of those organizations. That's why if you're not a member of the Lord's church, he is going to try to stop you from becoming a member of the Lord's church. Satan also knows that Christ is the head of the church. And he wants to keep you out of that body that has Christ as the head. Why is that? We know that Satan has been battling Christ since the beginning of time. When we go back and read in the book of Genesis, we see where the devil approached Adam and Eve and the prophecy of Christ coming. And the devil does not want you in any body over which Christ is head. Satan wants you. Satan has a plan for you. Christ has a plan for you. But Satan has another plan for you. You think about all those other organizations. Christ is not the head of any of those man-made organizations. Christ is not the head of any of those religious organizations. Christ is head over the church. Colossians 1:18, the body over which Christ is the head. Satan has a plan to keep you out of that. The devil has many ways of keeping you out of the church. He will argue that The church is not essential to salvation. Many people will say, all you have to do is be a good person. If that's true, Cornelius would have been saved. You couldn't find a better person than Cornelius, but God does not save on the basis of being a good person. Satan will try to keep you out of the church. He will try to misrepresent the church. He'll say that place is full of hypocrites. Look at what they say on Sunday and how they live on Monday. He'll say, do you know what went on at that place down there? He'll try to stir up anything he can to keep you from joining the church, because he knows that is where the saved are. He does not want you saved because he is not saved. He is headed to hell, and he wants to take as many people as he can with him. He'll say that if you want to join the church, one church is as good as another. He'll tell you any lie that he can. He'll tell you, if you want to join the church, that's great. That's great you want to do that. Just wait. Don't do that today. You can do that tomorrow. That's part of his plan for you. He wants you to procrastinate. He wants you to put things off. Friends, Satan will do everything that he can to keep you out of the church. That is his plan. Well, the second plan, if his first plan doesn't work, and you become a Christian, you're baptized into Christ, you're added to the church, do you know what his second plan for you is? He wants to get you back into the world. And he is going to do everything that he can to do that. How many times has he been successful in that undertaking? We all know of people that have become Christians and then they've gone back into the world. And friends, whenever someone is baptized here and the Lord adds them to the church, we need to be praying for them every day. We need to be seeing how we can help them every day. We need to do whatever we can to make sure that they are firmly rooted and grounded in God's word, because Satan is going to try to snatch him. He's going to put all of his efforts on trying to get new converts to go back into the world. And it's nothing new. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What caused Demas to forsake Paul? It was love of the present world. And that'll do it every time. If you love the world more than you love God, that world is going to have a stronger influence over you. Satan knows that. That's why it's important that we spend time together. That's why it's important that we spend as much time as we can together with other Christians. It's important that we seek the kingdom first. We prioritize. This must come first. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Can we be a friend of both? We can't do that. If we are a friend of the world, we are an enemy of God. And Satan has a plan for us that he wants us to love the world. He'll do everything that he can to distract us from doing what we know is right, and to get us to go back into the world. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. How do we get over that love of the world? We immerse ourselves in God's word. The more we spend in God's word, the less attraction that world is going to have. And it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to go back into the world, because then we are in a worse condition than before we entered into the church. Let's turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And beginning at verse 20. For if after they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the later end is worse than them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Friends, the Christian that's escaped the pollution of the world, what an awful thing it is to become entangled again in the world. And how does Peter describe this? It's disgusting. It's disgusting when you think about a dog vomiting. It'll eat grass and it'll vomit. It'll empty its stomach. And then what does it do? It goes back and it eats what it just vomited up. Or a sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. A lot of times when you see pictures of a pig in the mud, it's a pig in the mud, but that's not generally what it's like. Where pigs would be raised, it would be mud. What would they be fed? Garbage. You throw that garbage in there. They just live in that. They live in that mud and that garbage. They live in their urine. They live in their excrement. And that you take that pig and you wash it, and then it goes back and it returns to that environment. That's disgusting. Why do people do that? Satan's got a plan for you. He may get you to do that. He may get me to do that. Friends, I don't want to, because it's disgusting. And the end is going to be worse than if they had never become a Christian. And you think, how could that be? How could one punishment be worse than another? Evidently there is. If we have escaped the world, so what's the attraction that draws people back into the world? Well, again, Satan, he's got plans for people to do that. He's got plans. And again, it may be that person, because again, Satan knows he doesn't want you to be baptized. He doesn't want you to have your sins washed away. He doesn't want you to come up out of that water and the Lord add you to the church. And maybe you haven't buried that old man all the way. Maybe you were buried in baptism, but you didn't bury that old man all the way and you just got wet. We've got to bury that old man, because if that old man comes back to life, what are we going to do? We've got to bury him. We've got to stop. Hebrews, if we turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and beginning at verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Friends, we're going to be tempted to sin, But we've got to crucify ourselves. We can't keep on sinning willfully. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, what sacrifice are we going to have? If we turn our back on the sacrifice that was made for us, what hope do we have? And you think back, he's making a comparison here. The Bible is full of things that are contrasted and things that are compared. So under Moses' law, if there were two or three witnesses where somebody broke the law, what happened to that person? They were put to death. They died without mercy with two or three witnesses under Moses' law. Now you take the law of Moses and you compare it to the law of Christ. Friends, if we go on sinning willfully, there is no hope for us. Who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do we understand when we sin what that does to God? Christ that gave himself, shed his blood to purchase the church, and we've made that blood an unholy thing. We've trodden it underfoot. Well, again, he wants to take us back into the world. So how is he going to try to do that? Different ways. He wants to weaken our faith. He tells you, you don't need to read the Bible today. You can do that tomorrow. You got other things to do. Now, I'll tell you my opinion. One of the things I see that's a danger today in the brotherhood is this disconnect with the local congregation. People satisfied to sit home will watch, I'll put this in quotes, will watch church on TV, will listen to this podcast and that podcast from, I like this guy on this side of the country and this one on that side, I'll listen to him, and they see that as their relationship to God. Friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's also why we're going to look at finding the New Testament church. This is what God wants, the local church right here coming together, worshiping him and praising him. And we need to understand that. We need to help everybody understand that. Something, if you have a misunderstanding of that, Satan's going to take you back into the world. If you hang around the wrong people and they have a stronger influence on you than you have on them, that's going to take you back into the world. And you might say, well, I'm stronger than that. I'm stronger than that. How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm stronger than that, and they were weaker and fell to the other person? Worldly enterprise and society, the pride of life, there are so many things that Satan uses to take us back into the world. The doctrine saved, that once saved, always saved, will cause some to fall. Christians will say, well, I was baptized, and they're satisfied that that's all they need to go to heaven. So Satan's plan for you, he wants to keep you out of the church. If you get in the church, he wants to take you back into the world. If he can't succeed at taking you back into the world, he's got one more plan for you. He wants to let you stay in the church and make you basically worthless. Worthless. You just warm the pew and he will be happy. If he cannot succeed in keeping you out of the church or in getting you back into the world, he'll do everything that he can to render you powerless and worthless in the church. We mentioned the passage in class this morning that every Christian is a branch. And what's the purpose of a branch? It's to bear fruit. And that branch is to be attached to the vine, to Christ. the branch must abide in the vine and bear fruit. If not, it's taken away. We recognize that if we have an orchard, a vineyard. John 15:2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring more fruit. So we are supposed to bear fruit. And if we don't, Satan's happy with that. So again, God has a plan for us. Satan has a plan for us. God wants us to bear fruit. Satan says, you sit right there in the church and don't worry about bearing fruit. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's a sobering thought. We aren't going to be judged when we get to heaven by a congregation, by a family. We're going to be judged individually. We aren't going to be judged on the curve. This person's better than that person. We aren't going to be judged on an overall score or grade. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everyone. You just stop and think about that. The judgment is a scary thing. There's some 7 billion people in this world right now. We're all going to be at the judgment. All those people that lived before us, all the way back from Adam and Eve, all of those good people down through the ages, all of those evil people, is God going to overlook me? He's not going to overlook me or you. So how does the devil render Christians useless and worthless? Again, he's got a lot of tools, a lot of tricks. He would like for the members of the church to be spiritually ignorant and satisfied. Don't worry about reading your Bible. Don't worry about studying for your class. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. You're fine just like you are. That's one of the plans he has for you. A lot of people refuse to study. Satan can render us worthless to the cause of Christ by being stingy and covetous. We love our money more than we love giving it to the Lord's work. And again, we give so that the work can be carried on. And if we are a covetous person, it just shows that we want to worship ourselves more than God. And again, as all of us, and I'm speaking for myself, I'm including everybody, as all of us get older and closer to the end of our life, we should realize how important the Lord's church is. The Lord's church was so important that he sent his own son to leave heaven, to come to this world, to die on a cross, an innocent man for the sins that we have committed, that he might redeem us, he might reconcile us, he might save us, that he has that plan for everybody. And then, well, if I've got a couple dollars, I'll put in, because I want to go here and buy lunch today. Do we understand the Lord's church? But Satan wants you to think that's fine. You know, you worked hard for that, you just keep that money, that's fine. Some people will think of any and every kind of excuse that they can. Others are rendered useless by hypocrisy or the way they live. They don't let their light shine. Or worse than that, they live one way on Sunday. They live a different way on Monday. Friends, may the Lord help us to overcome this plan that Satan has for us. He has a plan for us, And we had better have a better plan. We had better have a better plan, and we had better stick to our plan. Satan is spending every minute of his time trying to destroy us. Again, he's not worried about all those people out in the world. He already has them. And as we started in 1 Peter, he's seeking us like a roaring lion whom he can devour. He's on the prowl. He's on the prowl. He is not omnipotent, omnipresent. He's not omnipresent like God, where he's everywhere at the same time. He's prowling about, and he's looking for someone that is weak. And if you ever watch any of the shows of a lion out in the jungle, and they roar, and when they roar, what does that do? It scares the herd. The herd will take off running. And which one does Satan pick? Does he pick the fastest one? He picks the weakest one. He will go after that weakest one. He will get that weakest one, and he will devour that weakest one. And that is something else, friends, that should scare us. We don't want to be that weak one. We don't want anybody here to be that weak one. We want to help each other. We want to encourage each other. We have people that aren't here this morning. Why? We don't know until we can talk to them and find out why they aren't here. Whatever it is, we need to get everybody, every member, to understand this plan that Satan has for each one of us. If we are in the world, he's going to try to keep us there and keep us out of the church. If we are in the church, he's going to try to get us to go back in the world. And if he can't succeed at that, he's going to try to make us useless in the church. But friends, we can overcome him. 1 John 4:4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." When Christ is in us, we can overcome Satan. Don't let Satan win. Commit your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Savior. Be buried with him in baptism. Arise to walk a new man, and follow that plan that God has for you. Friends, if you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.